A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yourself up this. Hello, welcome to this episode of the Flats and Shanks podcast. I obviously am Tom Shanklin, and he is the formidable David Flatman.
The formidable.
Formidable.
Formidable. Hi, everyone. Hi, Tommy.
Hi, Dave. Two updates. Don't take all day about it either. Have you got ADHD and have had the snip?
ADHD test. No, I haven't had it yet.
You'll fake it anyway, like a lie detector.
100%.
You're so good at them.
And then I'll go on like BBC Breakfast to talk about it, and they'll say, actually, we haven't actually seen the results of your test. And I'll say, how dare you accuse me of lying? And they'll feel so bad because it's 2024 that I'll just have it whether or not I've got it.
Yeah, we had Jack Black on talking about it last week, and now we've got Flatman.
It is honestly mad. It's not mad, but it is really striking how many people have communicated with me over social media.
Oh, yeah.
And have grabbed me in the street. They haven't grabbed me in the street, but they've, being realistic about it, I've probably had 8 people grab me at events, 7 or 8 people. And I've about them and their kids or whatever with ADHD. And the number of messages, there are messages coming through every day. And one guy sent a particularly funny message yesterday saying, I just never even thought about, I've chastised myself for years for not completing tasks and being useless and not being able to start my own business and whatever. And I suddenly thought of this, and it turns out my son's the same, and it will be excruciating if you haven't got it because Shanks won't let it go.
Oh, mate,
love it.
You've ruffled a few feathers. You've stirred the pot.
But I haven't had the test yet, and the snip.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm also getting a lot of messages as well. So it's like, you know, when you've tagged someone in a post, you tagged me in a post about scrummaging during the Rugby World Cup.
Yes.
And my timeline was full. This is another level now.
It was when England got knocked out in the semi-final, that last scrum decision, and I said something like, Tom Shanklin has very strong views on this.
That's right.
People just hammered you for it. You hadn't even said anything.
I get it now. On ADHD.
How dare he? He was a centre. How dare he? It's just a joke, mate. Don't worry about it.
Chill out.
Chillax. ADHD ongoing.
Okay, good. Okay, cool.
And then you have this thing. It is like, well, if once the test has been and gone, I'm sure we'll talk about it more. But because my daughter Peanut was diagnosed, we can't get her meds. Like, we've got prescribed meds, but nowhere has these meds. I've been to every pharmacy in Bath, ring everyone, and they're like, you're not going to find these meds, and they don't tell us when they're coming. It's like bloody Rolexes, right? So you need to change it from this brand to either this brand or just generic this medication. Then we've got it. So then you have to go back to psychiatrists, wait for them to get back to you and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But it is so interesting watching like watching my daughter behave through different glasses, basically. You read and you know there are weird things, like, you know what's happening in her brain. She's basically fine. There are just certain things that now are obviously really ADHD, and I have to react in a certain way, except my brain struggles to react in the way it's meant to. So it's almost like the mad leading the mad a little bit sometimes. But it has been quite funny. Like I said to her a couple of days ago, I said, you've been here for an hour since school and I have not finished a collection of sentences without being interrupted by you. You've interrupted everyone who's spoken. So yeah, I've got ADHD and I haven't started my meds yet. I was like, that's the reason. It's not an excuse. I know you've got ADHD, but could you shut up for about a minute and a half? Could you try and do 90 seconds? Shut up.
I wonder where she gets that from.
I know. I'll do my best. And she can't.
Oh, you should see me this morning. My daughter, she kept coming in the house. They walked to school. She kept slamming the door because she was in a mood. I had enough. I opened the door and put her head in it. I was trying to shout, but like whisper at the same time. Don't you slam that door again! I had to call her then on her phone to say, sort your attitude out before you come home.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you called her to say sorry.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it is all quite funny. And it's stuff like, just so, because they all sleep on the top floor, the three big girls sleep on the top floor here. And
yeah,
it's like, right, you don't need to get up. I'm not forcing you to get up. Get up at 7. That's when the toddler, if you get up before 7, you will, there's no need. Stay in bed for longer and you will wake up the toddler. Okay, dada. Okay, daddy. Yeah. Every morning. Boom, boom, boom. That's it. She doesn't sleep. So she's up. Then you hear, mama, dada. And you're like, mate. But it gets to the point where you're like, you can't, there's no point in bollocking her for it, because you walk upstairs. She has got no idea. She's just done the thing you've asked her not to do. The only thing you've asked her not to do that night, she's done it. She's got no idea.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. I'm with you. So like, whatever you say to her, it's forgotten.
She's got it now.
Yep.
But she's good. She's good. And I'm interested to know my results, although I think I don't know what I'm talking about, but I think I'm unlikely to medicate because I would worry about it. Things like slowing recall and verbal recall and stuff like that. And being this is a really ignorant thing to say, but I am ignorant. I don't know enough about it, but I imagine taking medication that chills me right out and stops me. And not that I'm bouncing around, but I'm kind of, my brain is a bit, but then I worry that I'm not going to be as good at ad-libbing on stages and on telly and stuff. And I think I can't risk dulling my senses, as it were.
You're going to be like Stifler in old school when you go,
the dart in the tank. Neck.
Yeah. I like you, man. You're crazy, but I like you.
So I've been struggling with sleep for quite a long time. And basically, when I say struggling, sleeping 6.5 hours, 7 hours a night.
I hate sleep, mate.
Hey?
I hate going to bed. I just can't sleep.
That's when the demons come, is it?
That's when the guilt comes. No, I just can't sleep. If I do, I'm just getting about 4 hours.
Yeah.
I just lie there. But I can't stand at the moment. There's loads going on, obviously, like Six Nations.
Yeah.
I can't stop thinking about stuff. About what I've got to do or what I've got to say, and I just got to take notes there.
Yeah, but there is, that's, it's not good. So, it's not good, Tommy. Like, I know everyone's like, oh, Winston Churchill only slept 4 hours. Yeah, all right. He also had a pint of champagne for lunch, but it's like, it's not good. Like, sleep is really important, and I'm not into all these like alpha male podcasts and I'm up at 4:20 meditating, having had 12 hours sleep. It's like, okay, I hate all that shit. Oh, shut up, mate. You're not relatable at all. I'd almost rather listen to Boris Johnson's daily routine than yours, because it's ridiculous. But it's not a good idea not to sleep. And I've been thinking about it more and more. And do you know what I did? I actually, this is not a plug. Well, it is a plug, actually, but it's not designed as such. I actually sent a couple of text messages to George Cruz, who's got 4-5 CBD. Yeah. And I said, look, he sent me some gear like a couple of years ago, and I was like, oh, I sort of tried it a bit but again, I just can't do things consistently. like I can't.
You don't want to be reliant on it. Like there's sleeping pills, and you can get things over the counter. And sometimes if I'm really struggling, I do it. But I just don't want to be reliant on having to use that every single time. Then it just becomes into your daily habit. And then if you don't have something, you can't sleep without it. It becomes.
I don't think addictive,
but.
You're addicted. I think I read once your body is technically addicted to sleeping pills after one pill. So yeah, you'll never sleep as well the night after. I've said that a million times, but
yeah, that's like Matthew Bennett says. If you've only done what you've only do, you'll only do what you're. I can't remember what it is, but
it's his saying.
He must say it to all of his staff, or
do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always got.
Or Bubs will always say stuff like, "Just get ahead of the game."
Yeah, it's his thing.
Head of the game.
That's my thing. But I think that CBD is it's a natural thing, and I don't think it's particularly potent, and it's not all chemically and whatever. So I've did a bit of reading, and a tiny bit, like about 4 minutes, but it's like, it's actually, that's the sort of thing that's really good to build into a routine. So you have your little spray. Anyway, I texted Cruiser about it, and I actually said, "Believe, I don't want freebies. I want to pay for, but I don't know what to order because you've got a few different products."
That's what everyone who wants something for free says.
Yep, it arrived.
Yep.
I'll pay him back. But then they sent me these hydration capsules, which I love. I love those that you put in a pint of water. And this morning the girls were like, "Daddy, can I have one of these? Daddy, can I have one of these?" Because they will take all of them. And I said, "You can't. They've got cannabis in them," which they haven't, I don't think. They've got cannabis in them. And they're like, "Oh my God." So then I let little Hetty, the toddler, to have a tiniest little sip of it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And she's like,
"Try it out on your toddler first."
Yeah, she's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa." I was like, "Yeah, she's off. She's high, mate. Getting toddlers high before school." So I'm hoping that, obviously, I forgot to take it last night because that's how it works. But I'm hoping if I put it by my bed, I'll remember. Here's a pill, take it every day and you'll live forever and whatever, and you'll be the happiest man. I still couldn't take it every day. I can't take something every day. I've never been able to, so just can't be consistent. So hopefully this might help with the sleep thing. I'll let you know how it goes, because it might be something that you try.
Yeah, hope none of your family's ever held out to ransom.
Why?
Well, you know, if they said, like, "I don't know, you got a week to find £100,000, you just forget.
Yeah, I forget. Yeah,
it's nice and quiet around here. I might watch
honestly,
TV.
I'm sure lots of blokes have this more than women, and I know I'm being sexist there, but I think I'm right when you hear it. There will be someone, like the other day, there was like Freya got some like white company bags or something, and I was like, "What's that for?" It's a baby present. I'm thinking, "Who for?" I'm thinking. She's like, "You don't know who's had a baby, do you?" "No." We told us our friends had a baby, knew all about it, completely forgot. It was only a couple of days ago, but gone.
Yeah, nope. Happens all the time, though, mate.
I guess normal, isn't it?
Yeah, that is normal.
Mainly because I don't care. I think if we're talking about cars, talk about Land Rovers, I'd probably remember.
It also depends what's like going through your head, because my wife will say something to me, and I'll either be thinking about something else, or I'll be in the middle of, I don't know, brainstorming or something, or on my phone and replying to an email, and I stop and she talks, and then I'm still thinking about what I'm going to write or what needs to be done, and then she finishes and then it's gone. So it's concentration.
Yeah. Multitasking as well is a load of balls. Multitasking was actually it was basically used as a part of a marketing slogan for a new computer when computers were kind of home computers were new. It was multitasking. This computer can do two tasks at once. And then it was kind of nicked by people who wanted to make people feel like their brains are super efficient. And just so you know, it's a load of balls.
Yeah. Well, look, people might start turning off. So let's get into something more interesting. Have you had the snip? What was it like?
No, I haven't had it.
I was guessing.
I regret it now. Do you know why I didn't do it? I didn't do it because I'm going to do it, but I didn't do it because.
Hadn't washed in a week?
Yeah, exactly.
Scared.
I was doing it. Oh, no, I was doing it with a doc. A doc was doing it, who's a mate, an old team doc at Bath. And he's like, "Yeah, coming up, we'll sort it out." And then he's like, "By the way, really annoying, but the hospital won't waive their fee. And I was like, oh, and it's whatever, it's 650 quid plus VAT or something. So it's like 700 and whatever quid, 750, 800 quid. And he's like, but you can just do it on the NHS for nothing and you pay your taxes, so you can just do that. And I was like, oh yeah, I'll just do that. Like, and he go, he's like, I don't know why they won't waive it. You're only going to be in there for 15, 20 minutes. And I was like, yeah, sod that. But looping back around a little bit, I now have to provide loads of details to him so he can log me in and get me on the NHS thing. And I can't bring myself to bloody do the admin. It is so ridiculous. I'm desperate to have it. I'll have it now if someone give it to me. But I now have to send an email for which I have to find three or four bits of information that I don't have in my brain. And that's a couple of weeks now. Still haven't done it. It's mental.
No, you just can't be bothered, that's all.
No, no, that's not it, you see.
All right.
That's not it. I can be bothered.
So you can't late. You can't send an email with bits of information?
Mate, it's a weird thing. Like, if I sat here on when we finish our pod on my laptop and like, right, do it, you would just do it. But the whole time, my brain is telling me, I've got a call, another call with you, haven't I, in 2.5 hours. My brain is telling me that I'm running out of time. Not like I'm going to die. I mean, maybe I am, but I am running out of time. I do not have time to pop to the gym for 45 minutes or an hour and get back, which I do. It's 10 minutes from my front door. But I constantly do not have time to do it. And then you say...
What is time?
What is love? So it's like, someone I can't do it. So it's mental. It's absolutely ridiculous. And like, I've got to do it. So Freya and I are going away for a night and without toddler with baby. That. And I've actually said to her, I'm going to bring my laptop. Could you please, she has to basically do a load of admin for me. Cause it's like, she'll be breastfeeding a baby and doing emails that I can't do. It's completely unfair, but it's like, I do realize it's like when it sounds ridiculous to people who aren't affected by it, but it's like, if you imagine something you just could not bear to do more than anything, that is this email, but the result is something that I want to happen. So it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. We got to keep coming back to it. We've got to bin that for a bit now.
No, Tommy, it's like when someone's got a new dog, mate. It's like when someone's got a new dog. It's all they can talk about. It's all they can talk about. It's all I got now.
Baby,
I want to talk about the walk you went on, because I didn't pay it enough attention, to my shame, and now I've actually started looking around it. It's like, apart from anything else, it's amazing, but also selfishly I'm gutted I haven't been part of it, because it looks incredible. Can you tell us about it?
I was incredibly sad and also truly inspiring, because Craig Maxwell's got incurable lung cancer and bone cancer, and he's walking around the whole of the Welsh coastal path to deliver the ball to Wales v France this Sunday. There's a few legs which he is cycling. I think they're cycling today, but ultimately he's doing all the walks. And he's asked different people to come in and help throughout the, I think it's 27 days. And I did the 20th day from Stackpole to Pendine, which we had to cut a little bit short because of weather and because of light. And Joe, I reckon it's the most brutal conditions I've ever walked in, because the wind was just sort of 40, 50 mile an hour on the top of a cliff.
You should post that video you WhatsApp to me, because that was
rain hammering it down. Yeah. And that actually wasn't too bad. I didn't find the walk too bad. I found the conditions were a lot harder. And it was so slow because we having to go through real muddy trails, fields. You had to go really slow down sort of coastal path, because coastal path isn't just flat along the coast. It goes up and down, dips and dives. And it was brilliant. A load of my mates did it as well. So that made it a little bit fun. And it was great to see Craig and have a chat with him, and just unbelievably positive, and you couldn't tell what he was going through. He didn't show it at all. He had time for everybody, had a chat with everybody. Everyone was aware of the situation. You know, we all raised funds for it. He's flying at the moment with the Maxwell Foundation with fundraising. Jiffy's doing it today's doing a cycle today. There's been loads. Jamie Roberts, Josh Navidi, Andrew Strauss did it yesterday as well with Lauren Jenkins. My mate Blumberg and Reese Harrington, they did 2 days. But it was inspiring, mate. Like, you just think he's taken this walk and challenge head on, the same way he's dealing with his illness. He's just a warrior, mate. He's a proper hero, a proper legend. And we had a nice couple of little stops. We stopped at Manorbeer Castle for some homemade sausage rolls and Welsh cakes. Then we stopped off at...
That'll do you.
We stopped off at Tipper's for a bacon sandwich, which was one of the best... Well, bacon roll, which was one of the best bacon rolls I've ever had.
Oh, really? That good?
Yeah. And then Tenby Rugby Club, where we had some bagels. And some,
your old club, is that?
Yeah, a couple of pints of cider. Yep.
Did you
had a change
round
of clothes
when you walked in?
Yeah, guard of honor.
And did you get a special reception when you walked in? Yeah, you did.
Guard of honor, yeah. And then we ended up at the Royal Oak for some tea and cake.
Royal Oak, Gav Henson's place?
No. That's a surprise. The Royal Oak is Dave Allison's. My mate Dave Allison and Byron Lloyd, Johan's dad. It's their place.
Oh, okay. Dave Allison's got two names. One's boy's name, one's girl's name. So he's
yeah. I think, yeah. He's sort of half boy, half girl, whatever they're called.
What are they? oh, well done, Tommy. That's brilliant, mate.
So it was great. And then we stopped off at McDonald's on the way home. So I think...
That's the best bit.
I think I probably took in more calories than I burned.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was soaking wet flats. Everyone was drenched all the way through, but it was such a good, inspiring, fun. I enjoyed it. I loved it.
Bed that night.
I loved it. I loved doing it. And I loved seeing him. So.
Well done, mate.
Yeah. Sad, well done. But, you know,
it's just unavoidably awful, isn't it?
I'm looking forward to seeing him on Sunday because he's going to deliver the ball, the match ball. He's been carrying it around. I thought about when he wasn't looking, I draw like a massive penis on the ball. So, but it was stuck to his back the whole time.
My name's Craig.
Yeah. So he's going to come in and see me after in the marquee, in the locker room after the game, which is good.
Oh, well done, mate.
So yeah, if you want to donate, anyone
stitch
who wants
him up
to donate,
on the Q&A like you did me.
Anyone who wants
it comes
to
a gingerbread
donate,
man.
Just look at my Twitter or Instagram. The link's on there.
Well done.
Yeah, if
anyone's got a tenner, just take a minute of your life to give it there. And
I won't be stitching him up. Thanks for the donation, Flats. It was very generous of you. But I won't be stitching him up. I'll be stitching Rob Jones and Nigel Owens up. Because
it won't be hard, will it?
Why wouldn't you? Why?
No, why wouldn't you? Yeah, quite.
Why wouldn't you?
Quite, boy. Quite.
Where have you been this weekend? What have you been up to?
A weekend off. Weekend off, boy. No Prem. No Six Nations. So did remarkably little. It was absolutely lovely. These are the sorts of weekends where the main thing in my mind is spending time with my family. Actually, there's that, but actually the main things in my mind are grilling and driving cars. That's mainly what I think about, and did a bit of grilling, didn't do any driving.
I saw
you know Smoking Elk, do you follow Smoking Elk on Instagram?
Never tried it. It's an account, is it?
Smoking Elk. He is brilliant. I mean, there a lot of these barbecue gurus are brilliant, but Smoking Elk, Elky is, every recipe you're like, oh my God, I'd love to. So I actually saved one of his videos, copied him, it was super easy, stuck a load of ingredients in a NutriBullet and made a piri piri sauce, like posh Nando sauce.
Was it and nice, the sauce?
Honest, yeah, it was.
Can you
proper,
send it to me?
Yeah, it's properly. Like gorgeous sauce, absolutely loved it, and made loads. So I've kept some, and did a spatchcock chicken on the rotisserie with extra chicken thighs and corn, and got a load of because on the rotisserie on the Kamado, you've got like you can put the spikes in and rotisserie something, or you can use there's a cage, Yeah. And you can, like, there's flat services. You can flat pack, like you could do a fish in there and spin it round, or you could put a basket on and do a whole chicken. And so you flat pack the chicken in the middle, and then you surround it with corn and citrus fruits and stuff with all the sauce on it. And mate, wild.
Can I ask you a quick question? I haven't used my Kamado Joe for a while.
Yeah.
When I first started up now, do I need to do it slow? Do I need to put it on a low heat? Or
no,
can
do you know what?
Go for it.
What I would do if I were you is sacrifice half a bag of charcoal and just light it, leave the vents open, and just let it burn all the way out, because then all the mold and germs and everything will be gone. And you are then. So, what I quite often do is stick a whole bag in if I haven't used it for ages. And it's a bit of a sacrifice because you've got to lose a bag of charcoal, but you, or if it's one of the big bags, half, and I just burn it all the way through day before or the morning before I'm going to use it or whatever.
Yeah.
And amazingly, you'll come to it and you will have a very clean Kamado Joe after that. It's the best way.
Okay.
So that's what I do. But I'm, okay. Yeah, that chicken was, yeah.
Send me the recipe.
It was brilliant. Yeah, I'll send that to you.
You inspired me yesterday because I saw that and I thought, oh, I'm going to order some stuff from Field and Flower. So I've got the standard barbecue stuff of the burgers and the sausages, because I think the burgers
they're so good, though.
Amazing. And I've also got, I ordered a load of chicken thighs because I'm going to do a big kebab on the
rotisserie. Oh, shawarma.
Shawarma. Yeah, but I'm probably going to go piri-piri sauce on it, though.
Well, the sauce I'll send you the recipe for, go on the Smoking Elk Instagram and have a look at his chicken shawarma, because that's the best one I've seen.
Okay, will do. I'll definitely do that. So I'm going to do that. And I'm going to do it and then settle down to watch Kin. So thanks for that recommendation. I'm only two episodes in. So
what, series one?
Yep.
Series one, really good, enjoyed it. Series two, a level above, because Francis McGee, yes, I had to look his name up, but I've seen him everywhere. Francis McGee is in it, and he is one of the best TV characters I've seen in any TV show.
Okay,
he is amazing.
I cannot wait for this. I cannot
he is
wait for
amazing,
this.
Amazing, mate.
Really enjoying it. I also got one more episode of Masters of the Air on Apple TV, which is very good.
Have you enjoyed that?
Yeah, it's good. I also watched Napoleon.
Oh,
on
Apple
TV.
That movie?
Joaquin Phoenix in.
Is it a movie, not a series?
Yeah, it's a movie. It's
what was it like?
Hours long. Brilliant acting.
Yeah.
It's all about, obviously, Napoleon Bonaparte.
I didn't think it was about the dog.
The ice cream.
Yeah.
And his rise to fame, his marriage.
Yeah.
Sort of culminates in the Battle of Waterloo against the Duke of
Wellington. Quite little, wasn't he, Napoleon?
Maybe
not in the movie, but I think he was quite little in real life.
It's a brilliant actor, though. It's really well cast.
Is Joaquin Phoenix the guy? I mean, amazing actor, amazing. But is he the guy who won whatever, an Academy Award or a Golden Globe or something, and used his speech to talk about climate change when he'd flown there on a private jet?
I can't remember. He's the Joker. He's in Gladiator. He's Johnny Cash.
Yeah, the Joker. He was just, if you haven't seen the Joker with Joaquin Phoenix, am I saying it right?
I don't know if it's
Phoenix. Oh my days! Like a man spiraling into decline. It was just like he was absolutely unbelievable.
He's brilliant.
Oh, breathtaking! That was that good. By the way, I've had a few requests for a Land Rover update from the one I'm putting back together, the old one.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, what I'm doing at the moment is ordering parts, checking if they've arrived, chasing up parts that haven't arrived, ordering parts, seeing if they've arrived, chasing up parts that haven't arrived. We do not yet have a rolling chassis, but we have chassis, we have axles, we've got everything ready to go, loads of stuff ready to go. We're waiting for things to arrive. I don't even know what they are. But it was meant to be ready spring, like now-ish, and they haven't started building it, and it's not their fault. So hopefully summer for the Land Rover ragtop.
Two-tone 525?
Two-tone 525. But as you can imagine, for someone who's impatient and an absolute car obsessive, I don't talk about cars too much on this pod because it bores people and you're not as into it as I am. But it's killing me a bit, but it's unfortunately it's my fault, it's not theirs, so I can't even blame anyone. There's not really an update, but I'm sort of gagging for there to be an update. And I've gone down rabbit holes. Like, I just want an old TD5 engine so my girls can get insured on it and so it works and it's fine. I don't want some, I like the idea, but I don't want some massive bloody BMW sourced or, you know, Corvette V8 in it. I'm not interested in that. So I got this engine, and then you speak to this company about suspension springs and stuff like that. You might as well upgrade them a bit for a couple of hundred quid. And then they're like, oh, we could breathe on your engine a little bit as well. And I don't really know what that means, but it basically will tune it, we'll do this, we'll do this. And then I'm like, yeah, let's do that. Yeah, and do you know what? It's just to take the standard engine, give you much better fuel economy, much better poke, we'll put a new intercooler, new turbo. And I was like, yeah, sounds great. Yeah, $6,000. It's like, no. Wheel it back. I don't need to do any of that. It just needs to chug about. So I've wasted your time. So I'm going down those rabbit holes a bit at the moment. It's all quite tempting until you see the numbers. Then it's not.
Sounds like business jargon, David. I know you hate that.
No, I'm trying to. They're trying to upsell me some of these retailers, but it's not working. But yeah, one of these days there will be a car ready. One of these days.
What colour are you going to have it? Can you have it?
I'm going to have it powder blue with a sand-coloured hood.
I was hoping you'd have it camo to go with your dry robes. Your family dry robes.
I don't have camo dry robes, actually.
Drop the kids off at school.
Yeah, flip-flops and a camo dry robe. No.
Andrew Cotter loves them.
Oh, does he?
He's always in a dry robe. Just walking around to the shops. Dry thin robe only. And a pair of Crocs.
Thin. Well, he's slim. He's not thin, he's slim. Yeah. There's not a lot of him outside the brain department.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So this weekend, Tommy. This weekend, fella. I'm at Twickenham for England Ireland. So are you, aren't you?
Yeah, I've got the locker room in Richmond College.
Oh.
Yeah, so Stephen Ferris and Mark Cueto.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Great. Before I've seen Cueto, I haven't seen him for years.
What a guy, mate. What a guy. Just one of those guys, if you were head coach, director of rugby, he's one of those guys that you'd say... right, you're 21, Quates. How long do you want to play for? And he'll say, I want to play till I'm 35. And I say, right, we'll give you a 14-year contract and we'll renegotiate every 2 years, but could you please sign it and never leave? And we'll pick you every single week. He's that guy.
Yep. I always remember because we're all about the same age, aren't we? I always remember like the first try, I think he scored, where he must have only been like 18, 17 or 18. I remember it was like Loftus Road. Against Wasps, and he just ended up like handing off three or four people. from right to left, going on the outside, scored like a massive individual try. Because Steve Hanley was there as well, and sort of he was the main man until Crates come along, and he ended up scoring like a 60-meter try. Because obviously, I was a winger, centre as well, so you keep an eye on who's about. Mm. And I just always remember that try, and thinking, "Oh my days, this guy's good."
Yeah, class player. And
you turned out all right.
You got me with it. Do you remember the stitch up where you'd ring someone and play audio down the phone? It'd say, "Yo, hey, what's your number doing on my girl's phone, man?" And you'd like reply, "What? Who's this? What's your number doing on my girl's phone?" And like, there's like timed pauses. Do you remember that? I did Quates with that. I ran Quates with that years ago. Obviously, this must be actually like 20 years ago. And I ring him and I'm like, "Lads, listen to this. You might have been with me actually, because we were at Sarri's. I ran Quates." And everyone else had been like, "What are you talking about?" Or hang up. Just, "What are you talking about? What? Who's this? Who's this?" Quates was like, "You what?" And I know we don't swear on this pod, but just give me a minute. And it was along the lines of, "You what?" He's like, "I know where you are. I know where you live, mate. I know where you live." Because you know where I am. "Come and fucking get me, you twat. Fuck off." Quates was straight away like, "Do one. Who do you think you're talking to?" Straight away. I was like, "Quates, it's me, mate. It's me. It's me." he was the only person. I'd stitched loads of people up with that, as you did. He was the only person that was like, "Well, come on then. Come and find me then." I tried to do Steve Diamond, but he didn't answer because I thought he would have been just as aggressive. Oh, that was great.
Get him on the
lads early. Who panic are the ones with guilty consciences.
I was just about to talk about England, Ireland.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I don't think the team's been released yet. It's Wednesday morning, 9:15.
Yeah, they haven't yet.
Do you expect many changes? I mean, is Freddie Stewart going to be playing, do you think? Is he back in? Is he out? It's like, right, we'll have him. And then all of a sudden, England's attack becomes a bit poor. And they're like, right, get rid of Freddie. We'll have someone else in. We'll put him on the
way. But it would seem like the thing is now, they could just, if they bring Furbank in for one start last week and then drop him again for Stewart, what they will say is horses for courses. And I sort of think, well, I get that to a point. I do get that to a point. But actually, if you're trying to build cohesion, it would seem like a good idea to pick as close to the same team as you possibly can repeatedly. In England, just hardly 100%. Ever pick the same. Yeah, they did,
100%.
They hardly ever pick the same team. So it's kind of...
You need some consistency there.
Yeah, I just think if you're going to pick Furbank, leave him in then for a few games. And I read yesterday that Finn Smith has hurt his calf, so Marcus Smith will come back onto the bench. And I sort of think, well, that makes sense. But it's a bit like Hugh Bennett says, if you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always got. Matthew Bennett, sorry. Who's Hugh Bennett?
He says it in a rhyme and he sings it as well.
Who's Hugh Bennett?
Strength and condition coach in Wales.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Matthew Bennett says that. So I sort of feel like I don't think it will change all that much. I expect George Martin will come in the second row, and you might see Chesson move to the back row. Not sure. Wouldn't expect wholesale changes, but at the same time, I sort of feel like, what are the odds of England's attack being effectively transformed by this week? I think they're probably quite slim, and that's quite difficult to achieve. So one of the interesting things is what Ireland do with England's blitz defence, how they work it, because you imagine if Johnny Sexton's playing, we're not keep harking back, if Johnny Sexton's playing, you're potentially in quite a lot of trouble if he knows what's coming, because he'll work it out and you'll get cut to ribbons. But that will end up being quite an interesting part of the game, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I do think, though, if any team is going to rattle Ireland, I think it's going to be England. I think I would go with an Ireland win. Like, but I just think be very wary of that England team at Twickenham.
Yeah.
We've been saying it for years about England. Like, they have got a big performance in them. I don't know if it's going to come this year. It might be next year. But when it clicks, look out, because they've got so many good players. It's just loads of different combinations all the time. And horses for courses, yeah, you can say that with the odd selection, but you just need core of your team together to build partnerships, because you just look at the, it's like a turning style, I just feel, at England at the moment. A lot of that is down to injury, I get it, but also there isn't really much consistency in selection. I don't think Steve Borthwick knows his best team, therefore can't pick it. I don't think he knows, right, this is my best 15. I'm picking this for the next 5 games, no matter what, to try and build, you know, some partnerships there. Because you look at the best, I always look at some of the best teams that win this competition are the ones mostly that don't have, are lucky with injury, but the core of that team, like 90% of that team, are picked every week. And that's just not the case.
Yeah. And I think you're right. And a couple of years ago, I think it was Charlie Yules that got sent off for England at Twickenham, wasn't it? And England went down to 14 men. I think it was Charlie Yules. And England lost to Ireland, but they were, or maybe it was in Dublin. I can never remember these things. England lost, but they were absolutely fantastic. And they had the place roaring. And it was like, we all, you know, it was like, that is what we want, that fire in the belly. Because although it's modern rugby and there's no brawling and stamping anymore and that stuff, there is still room for, you know, extreme aggression in a controlled sense. I mean, watch the box when they're at their best, you know, there's still room for that. And England absolutely flew into them and it was fantastic. They lost, but it actually oddly didn't matter. And that's what I think what you want to see is, I think, as a, never mind just an English fan, if a sports fan, anyone who's not Irish, basically, what they want to see is guys like Genji, guys like Marrow, guys like Henry Slade being told, Sam Underhill being told they're not good enough, being told this team isn't good enough. And you want to see a bit of ferocity in the response is what you want to see. So interested to see how the England forwards carry into the Irish as well. The one out thing ain't going to work. We know that. England have got great ball carriers, but there's almost no such thing as a great ball carrier if he's on his own.
Yeah.
Like, you can just, these days, you can just deal with that. So
or a one-on-one. A one-on-one is what you want.
Yeah. So you do need options hitting the line at the same time, which requires fitness, cohesion, and actually, obviously, a level of aggression. Yeah. And a level of aggression as well, because hitting the line with multiple options repeatedly is a massive effort for big men. But you do need to do that. Otherwise, Ireland will just dish you up all day. They'll be fine with that. And big Joe Mack will take you to the cleaners. But it's actually, if England hit the line with options, they've got in George Ford or Marcus Smith, whoever plays, probably George, they've got a fly half who can pick the right pass in that final split second at the line. But if there are options and they're just chucking it to one lad to try and make ground, now and again that happens. But if that happens as a theme, they will struggle. But I'd love to see England just fierce on Saturday. Would love that.
Yeah, fierce and aggressive, I think.
But mainly I'll get to watch Genji against Tadhg Furlong, and
it'd
like
be massive, mate. It'd be a massive game. Like, it'd be really physical. There's no doubt about that. And that's, I think, what Ireland have added over the, I'd say, probably maybe the last 10 years, is a huge power game now. You know, so they've got an all-courts game, like Leinster. You know, they can play it tight, they can play it wide, they can adapt, and a lot of other teams can't. I tell you what is going to be scary for me in the Wales game is, I was just trying to have a little, I was looking at the Wales scrum, and I know I sent you a little video for your opinion on that, with Porter angling in a fair bit against Wales, but got away with it, and Wales didn't deal with that well enough.
Well, just to stop you on that, I'm mid-flow, but just so we don't have to come back to it, there's always an argument, and this is why, and it's just okay. In my opinion, it's just okay that the scrum can be a bit ambiguous. Rugby can be a bit ambiguous at times, and that, just deal with that, everyone, in my opinion, because sometimes that's just how the game is. There's almost infinite variables when you're talking about angles. But Horton might be boring in a little bit, fine, but also if he attacks someone on a bit of an angle, which is kind of, if he goes dead straight parallel to the touchline, just so you know, it's really easy for the opposition, so Azirati or whomever, to slip inside him, because he has to go dead straight And it's really easy to slip inside him then and go past him. So there's always a tiny bit of an angle. That's just physics. However, if you attack someone and they crumble inwards, do you then stop pushing because it looks like you're heading in? It's like you don't. You go for him and you follow him in. So there's if Azzerati doesn't crumble on a couple of those scrums, Porter's angle might look a bit different, actually. Yeah. But because he does, it looks like he's going in at 45 degrees. Well, he is, but he's actually chasing a crumbling prop in a couple of those scrums. So there's always kind of a reason for it that makes me sound cleverer than what I am.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Yeah. I mean, Cyril Bai won't be as probably aggressive or as good a scrummager as Porter, but it's the sheer weight of the French front row and the second row behind. And whether they play Tuilagi, whether they play Tuafanua, Willems is back. Waki, they've got massive options there. And I was trying to sort of guesstimate the weight of that front five for France. And I've got up to about 650 kilos, which is really worrying considering the scrum was a bit of an issue for Wales against Ireland. Also, the line out wasn't great. And now everyone's line out tends to struggle against Ireland because not only is their line out pretty decent, although they did. Was a bit shaky against Wales, actually, but their defensive line out is really good as well because they're so athletic. Back row, second row, they've got good height in their back row, which Wales don't necessarily have. You know, they had Justin Tipperick for years was Wales' best line out option, and they don't really have that height anymore in the back row. So that is the issue I've got, and I'm worried about for Wales is set piece because I think France might be there for the taking. You know, they look low on confidence. You look at the game they played in the World Cup against Italy where they put 90-odd points on Italy. You know, they struggled. Probably should have lost that game at the weekend had it not been for the ball slip, ball coming off the tee, which I do think a rule change needs to be worked out for this because, right, you're given a minute, that's fine. Or a minute and a half, I think, with a try. That's fine. But I would say if the ball falls off the tee, which is no fault of anyone, well, you could blame with the kicker for not putting it on securely, but you don't normally plan for that. I think the clock should be reset again. Or the clock stopped until he kicks it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Because it's no fault of anyone's. And you won't get that situation there where you have to rush a kick right at the death to win a historic victory. So, yeah. But I do think DuPont is just, as we all thought, really is just carving up on the sevens at the moment. Like it's,
of course he is.
It's annoyingly great to see. And I can't believe how much one team really relied so heavily on a guy like that. But then you look at it and you think, do you remember many mistakes he made in games?
No.
Do you remember him not seeing an overlap or going the wrong way when it was Blentley on to go another way? Do you remember seeing him when he should have ran instead of kicked? Like, the bloke it was near enough error-free in games. And at nine...
More touches than anyone else.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
And being able to see the game... Like, we would watch it up top where the space is. Being able to see it at that level, like a quarterback, is insane.
Yeah.
But I think France losing Dante as well. Mofana might come into the centre. I'm not sure. But they still got huge threats, no doubt about that. They've still got quality players. But they are lacking a lot of confidence at the moment.
I think you're right about them being there for the taking. And if you take away their set-piece dominance, I think they're really there for the taking at the moment. And it... Without, you know, getting too nerdy about it, I think big Weenie Antonio on the tight head, massive man, and his scrummaging has kind of got better and better over the years. If the listeners want to watch out for something, it'll be because he's so tall, he's what, 6'4", 6'5", massive, which is fine in the scrum. People think it isn't, it is. But what you want to do as Wales is you want to crowd his space before you engage. You want to crumple him up a little bit and make him feel too tall. So to compensate for that, often he will put his feet quite a long way back and he'll almost lay out like belly out and he'll get too long because no matter how strong you are, once someone's underneath you and they are effectively a as strong as an amateur powerlifter like professional props are, you are toast. Doesn't matter how strong you are. If Gareth Thomas or Domaszewski is underneath your sternum, you are going up in the air because you're just not as strong in that position. So he works very hard not to get caught with anyone underneath him. So sometimes he gets really long and he bellies out and flattens out. And then the ref's got a decision to make. Has he laid out or has the loose head effectively buckled under his weight and folded, hinged at the hips and let him fall? So that is really, I think that's the most difficult thing a referee has to do at the scrum, is decide whether someone has hinged and let him go or if he's laid out. So that's just something to keep an eye on. Wales will want him to have as little space as possible to get into a comfortable position. Whereas if you're against someone who's, 5'9" and 20 stone, you almost want to give more space so that when they engage, they're at full extension and they're kind of locked out and knees aren't bent and they can't go any further. So the shorter guys, you give loads of room to. The really tall guys, you want to close them right up as much as you can. So that's just something nerdy to keep your eye on.
If we get that sorted, then I think there needs to be more focus on first phase. I know rugby's not like that anymore because a lot of teams work tries from either counter-attack, turnover, third or fourth phase, multiple phases if you're Ireland, because they just wait for someone to make half a break, then they're on the front foot, then they're playing with quick ball. The ball tension is amazing. The speed of ball after initial half break is so good. But Wales aren't like that. I think we need to get over that game line first phase quickly and then play on the front foot, because we're not so good at fourth or fifth phase. I don't think Wales at the moment has got a try over five phases. Everything else has been prior to five phases. So that is key. They're not doing too bad, because you look at the results, one score difference, 1 or 2 points, wasn't it? Scotland, England, Ireland came back towards the end. But
yeah, but you've got Cam Winnett now. It's the new Ian Bolshall.
Yeah, he's got a new Cam Winnett. He's looking good. Centres haven't really functioned like we thought they would. The World Cup, they were really good together, Tompkins and North. Just, they're a little bit disjointed. They don't work as a unit. And you look at units like Hugh Jones and Sione Tupulotu, or you look at Bundiaki and Ringrose or Henshaw.
Or Henshaw now, yeah.
Yeah, you look at these combinations. I just feel, at the moment, Tompkins is maybe a little bit more individual, just floating around like a quarterback behind rucks, just not really working as a 10, 12, 13 along phase play when you need that, because you need to organise people around you.
I'd say he could get a lot of England caps if he wasn't Scottish. It's Cam Redpath.
Yeah. Yep.
I reckon it'd be Redpath and Ollie Lawrence.
But that's all we got there, mate, in Wales at the moment. That, there's not many other options. There's not many other 12s. There's Ben Thomas, but I don't think defensively he's
going to have
enough effect at top level. As a 12, you need to be banging people and you need to be slowing ball down. You can't be just soak up tackles.
Well, here's a question for you. A couple of years ago, you got in loads of trouble on social media because you said that there wasn't enough, you didn't see enough talent coming through, young talent in Wales, and everyone called you
about 3 years ago, wasn't it?
3 years ago.
Yeah.
What do you reckon? Were you right?
I think, they didn't come in until now, so we have been waiting a while, but we should be getting the talent through every single year. And I think what we're seeing now, Flats, is because lots of players retired and the whole dynamic of Welsh rugby's changed and players are leaving Wales, it's opening up more opportunity for a pathway through from youngsters. So we've got players coming back from England now, from the English pathway. So we've got Gareth Bowen's son, who's a back three player. Remember him, number 10?
I've played with Gareth Bowen. And I played in a charity, Gareth Steenson's testimonial game, like after I'd retired, fat as a house. And Gareth Bowen was our 10. And
keep this short, because I was on one then.
He was, he was amazingly good at rugby.
Yeah.
On that day, oh my God, he was class. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
And Stephen Emmanuel as well has come back. So I think the goodness to come out of this wage cap, this low wage cap, is that some of the big talent has left, which creates more opportunity and a clear pathway through for players. So the likes of Mackenzie Martin, the likes of Cam Winnett, these types of players, we probably wouldn't have seen, maybe, had it not been for players leaving Wales to go
elsewhere.
The clear
out, so, as it were.
Yeah, yeah, so a lot more confident in what's coming through, but it's going to take a little bit of time. Like Mackenzie Martin, Flats, looks really good.
I like him a lot, mate.
He's come sort of size ready, and often when you're young,
yeah,
it takes a bit of time. Like Alex Mann, another one, I'd say, yeah, he probably needs another year or two to mature a bit more physically as a six, but work rate, brilliant, great player. Well, not great player yet, but very good player, like could become a great player.
Yeah,
tens is my worry, boy. So.
You just need a new jiffy to pop up, don't you?
But I am a bit.
I like Costello, though. I do. I like how gritty he is. I like how he sticks his head in the way. I think that's such a good start.
He's tough. He's tough boy. Like,
yeah,
you know, covers a lot of ground, but it's also 10 or 9 are very difficult positions, no matter what team you're playing in. Because if you haven't got a pack that is dominating or on top, then it is very difficult. Because, you know, 3 or 4 phases then. And a team that isn't that cohesive in attack, 3 or 4 phases, you're a little bit worried about overplaying. You get back into the pocket, you kick.
Yeah.
But anyway, wake up, everybody. We're back. Italy, Scotland.
Back to the snip. Oh, no, sorry.
ADHD.
Oh, well, Italy, Scotland, a great story for the neutrals if Italy did it, but Scotland are too good. They win, full stop. And I actually love watching Scotland at the moment.
Yep, agree with you, mate. Agree with you. They've got so many good players now.
Yep, I think they're great.
Like, you know what their strongest team is, don't you, basically? You
can sort of pick. Well, I think they're enough. Great. I think they're great value to watch when they're on it. And let's not try and rewrite reality, but that is a lot to do with Finn Russell. But he's not alone. Tuipulotu at 12. Brilliant player. Redpath when he comes on, brilliant player. Huge. Any midfield where Roy Hutchinson can't get a look in has got to be good, because he is magic, I think.
Dempsey, when he plays, I really like watching him. Darge. Awesome.
Yeah. Cummins, I really like. I think they're a really, really good team to watch. George Turner, I really like. He's on the edge quite a lot.
Yes, he is. Correct.
They're one of the better teams in international rugby to watch at the moment, I think. So I wish them well, Tommy. I wish them well.
That will do us, I think, David, unless you've got anything else you want to
add. No, don't worry about me. Don't worry about me, mate. I'll just crack on with me various diagnoses and taking it one day at a time, mate.
Yeah. Gluten-free be the next one. What you probably are.
That won't be the next one. That won't be the next one. All right, well done, guys. Look, you've stuck in there for however long this was. It was bloody long, but it was a lot of important ground covered, I think.
Oh yeah, you know, proper hot topics at the moment. So, you know, if you can learn a little bit from this, or you can walk away knowing something different, then my job's done.
Tommy, if we can inspire one person, we're happy, aren't we?
Hey, look, I'm taking these people to war.
Yeah,
and I'm doing my own stapling.
Yeah. Good luck, everyone.
All right. Goodbye.
Peace. Increase the peace.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.